And also want to remind everybody about the baptism services coming up July 17th, I think. No, not July 17th. July 20th, I think, is out in the east at Mentor Headling Park. And then August 17th or August 20th, something like that, here at Lakeview Park. And so if you want to be baptized, we promise to hold you under at least 3 to 5 seconds. And we're going to make this thing stick and going to make it work. And it's going to be fun. So let us know, because I think last year, did we baptize like 100 people or something? 200, 300, I don't know. Lots of people. So if you need baptized again, let me know. We'll be happy to do that for you. I'm going to tell you the month of July, we're not doing traditional services. Tina is going to teach. I'm going to teach. We're going to break it down with the men. It's called Fight Club. And we're going to teach you how to fight and win. And every Wednesday, Thursday night, for 4 weeks in July. I believe there's 5 Wednesday, Thursdays. So the middle one, like the 16th, 17th, will not meet. But there's the information. And we want you to be a part of it, guys. And then in the same night, my wife's going to teach. We don't have a slide for her, do we? Not yet. But she's going to teach. You know, you've heard of mountain men? Okay, mountain women. You're going to learn how to be a mountain woman. Okay? And she'll be doing that at the same night. We have a little competition going to see how many, if I'm going to have more, she's going to have more. But I already know that I'm going to lose. So... not a big deal. I got broad shoulders. I'm big. No problem. Tonight I want to share with you about a kingdom called love. And this teaching is going to be, my wife shared with me last night. She said it sounded like I was in a classroom at Bible college. So it's going to be a little bit like that. But how many want to learn about the kingdom called love? Do you want to hear about it? Okay. Those of you that are watching, I hope you take some good notes. I want to start with reading 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. I believe you do have those verses there. If you don't have a Bible, you can look up on the screen. But know this, that John the Apostle wrote something that was amazing. He said this, "We have known and believed the love that God had for us." And that's an interesting verse, because he didn't say we have known and we have believed Jesus. He said we have known and we have believed the love that God had for us. Now that's interesting, because then he goes on to explain it. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. So the Spirit's first agenda, and you have to get this in your mind, the Spirit's first agenda is to establish the first commandment in first place in the church. The Spirit's first agenda, the Holy Spirit is going to work to establish the first commandment as first place in the church. What's the first commandment? It is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, might, and your strength. What's the second? Like the first. And your neighbor as yourself. So the Holy Spirit is working to establish that commandment that was given to us from Jesus. This is in Matthew 22, verses 37 and 38. So if you look at it, it said, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." He called it the great commandment. So the Holy Spirit's at work in the church to establish this love relationship between us and God, but also between us and one another. Between us and one another. So the command to love God with all of our heart doesn't begin with us. It is an expression in the ultimate reality of the kingdom that existed long before the creation of the world. Basically, this burning love of God existed within the three persons of the Trinity. Now, we have to understand that, because God is love. God just doesn't love. It's not an attribute or characteristic of Him. It is who He is. God is love. And when we understand that, we realize that this perfect love within the fellowship of the three distinct persons of the Trinity was so magnificent, was so full and rich, that they together said, "We've got to share this. This love is overwhelming. We have got to share this." So what they said is, "Let us make man in our image." And we want man to experience this love that we have one for another. It's a perfect love. The very being of God is wholehearted love. Wholehearted love is first in God's personality and the relationships between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, the essence of how God thinks, the essence of how God feels, is wholehearted love. Now, I'm going to make a statement. I want to put this slide up. And I want you to begin to understand this, why we have this struggle in the kingdom. The Lord has great power and wisdom, but He only uses them to express His love. What we see a lot in the church is people advocating, promoting, seeking after wisdom and power. We want to see the miracles. We want to see the power. We want to see the gifts of the Spirit. Those are only expressions of God's love. And thus you have this dichotomy of people who pursue the gifts, who pursue the expressions of His love, and can't get along with their neighbor. Can't forgive their friend. Can't love other people. Well, the expressions of the gifts and the miracles are just that of God's love. So how can you pursue these power gifts without understanding and receiving God's love? So how do we understand this first commandment? We best understand the first commandment by seeing it in its eternal context of the fellowship of the Godhead, rather than seeing it as one aspect of the kingdom of ethics. Now, kingdom ethics, or the kingdom expressions, you can say, well, God is joy, God is peace, God is wholeness, God is deliverance. God, all those aspects, really, even in the gifts of the Spirit, or the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Okay, the fruit of the Spirit is love expressed these nine ways. Yeah. All right. Got some music going here. Please silence your cell phones. So we can't say that that's God. You say, well, that's God. Well, God, that's an expression of who God is. So we have to say we're created in His image for wholehearted love. We're not piecemealing God. Neither can we piecemeal ourselves in relationship to God. Like, someday I love God, someday I don't love God. Someday I love you, someday I don't love you. Because if you treat me right, I love you. But if you don't treat me right, then I don't love you anymore. Or God's going to love me if I do right. But if I don't do right, then God's not going to love me. Well, then you don't understand love. Because God is love. He doesn't diminish, or nor does He increase in His love. He's always love. So there's nothing you can do to get Him to love less. If He did, or if you could, it would deny who He is. He is constant. He is always love. So this foundational premise in Scripture that God loves us, watch this, and I want you to get this. God loves us with the same love that God loves God. I know that's weird. That sounds kind of strange, doesn't it? But God loves you and me the same way God loves God. So, well, then how can God love God? Well, all right, look at John 15, verse 9. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. So what he was saying is, my love for you is the same way that I have love for Jesus. And that Jesus has love for me. So the love I have for you is the same way that God loves God, is the same way that I love you. Think of it this way. God doesn't love you any less than He loves Jesus. We don't have an inferior love because we're the redeemed. Jesus said, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Then He said, abide in my love. I want you to stay and continue in this love. So the love that's burning in God's heart has at least five expressions. And number one, it's God's love for God. Each person in the Trinity intensely loves the other with everything. Number two, God's love for His people. He loves His people with all His heart, mind, and strength. And He loves with the same intensity that He loves within the fellowship of the Trinity. You've got to begin to feel that and understand and accept that. He loves me, the redeemed. God loves the redeemed with the same intensity that He loves within the fellowship of the Trinity. Number three, our love for God. God's very own love is imparted to us people by the Spirit of God. Romans 5:5. He tells us in Romans 5:5 that He sheds abroad in our hearts the love of God. The Holy Spirit is attempting to establish the first great commandment. Do you have Romans 5:5 if you can? There you go. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. See, we want the Holy Spirit so we can have power. And often we'll speak about the power to raise the dead, the power to heal the sick, the power to deliver the bound. True. However, the power is an expression of God's love. So now what I want to do is I want to come in communion with the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit's first assignment is to establish the first and greatest commandment, which is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, might, and strength. Realizing now that if I'm in communion with the Holy Spirit, that's why it's critical that you and I are being Spirit-led. If we're not Spirit-led, we're not going to be in tune with the love of God. And the love of God is what expresses itself in all the giftings. So I want to have this intimacy with the Holy Spirit, and the love is imparted to us through Him. Number four, our love for ourselves. We love ourselves in God's love and for God's sake. Learning how to love ourselves. And then number five, our love for others. We love others in the overflow of experiencing God's love. Let me say that again. We love others in the overflow of experiencing God's love. Can we say this? I believe we can. If I'm having a problem with you, it's because I'm not living in the overflow of God's love. If I can't forgive you, I'm not living in the overflow of God's love. So you become a barometer for me. My relationship with you, if I have bitterness or anger or unforgiveness towards you or resentment, and it's in my heart, it is a flag that says you're not living in the overflow of God's love. Now, that is not easy to do. It's a process. We're learning that. But that is the kingdom of God. It's called wholehearted burning love. And actually, it's like a club. It's like an association. It's like a community. We are the community of the burning hearts of God's love. And we love like crazy. We love like crazy. So the five expressions of love, these things that I just shared, constitute what I refer to as the fellowship of the burning heart. And our greatest destiny is to participate in this burning love in the family dynamics of the Trinity. And I said, God, set our hearts on fire with your love. I received a letter here. It was written June 6th. I don't know if they're watching tonight, but it's a family that lives in Colorado currently. And I just happened to open my mail today, and it's perfect. So I thought I can illustrate to you the hearts of the burning love, the fellowship of burning love. I wanted to write you and say thank you for everything you and CNC have done for my family. When I moved to Ohio, I had no friends. I had no family. God led me to CNC, and I can honestly say it's the best church I've ever been to. I like letters like this. Don't get them that often, but I like that. I went through some hard times while in Ohio, including homelessness. I was pregnant, and I was unemployed. CNC took me in, my boys, like family. I grew so much while I was there, and I gained lifelong friends. My boys loved going to children's church, doing Joshua Kids on the weekend. You and Tina, Pastor Troy and Rebecca, gave my boys presents for Christmas. And Tina gave me the most beautiful winter coat, gloves, and scarf, which I still use. I got to work in the nursery with Kyla Sloan, and she is now a big sister to me. CNC has shown me more love and compassion than any church ever has. I have never seen another church actively practice and live out God's word than I have at CNC. It was such a blessing to spend time there. Even though I'm back in Colorado at the time, I still consider CNC to be my home. Your sermon today on faith was everything I needed to hear. I'm so happy that CNC broadcasts live on the internet so I can still take part of Sunday morning services. I'm single, I'm a mom, I have three boys, and she goes on and on and on and talks about how the love of God has changed her heart. That is the fellowship of the burning hearts. Let me give you another illustration. This morning, I was at the Love Center, and I've been feeling led of the Lord to make some signs, free prayer, free hugs. And I sit there while the people are coming in for food, and I hold my sign up. And I said, hello, everybody, I got free prayer and free hugs, and some people come up, some people don't. And I said, oh, by the way, I also interpret tattoos. If you want an interpretation of your tattoo, show it to me, and I'll give you the interpretation. And I'm like, okay, God, you're going to have to help me because I don't know what I'm about to say. Okay, this wasn't a spiritual deal. This was just trying to connect with people. So a lady came up. She goes, I don't want a hug and I don't want prayer, but I want that interpretation of your, of my tattoo. I said, well, what do you have? She goes, it's over here on my leg. She started pulling her pants up. I thought, okay, how far are we going to go here? But it was right here on her thigh, on her calf, and it was a sign of Pisces. It was two fish, and she said, I'm a Pisces, and it said Pisces underneath. And one fish was swimming up, another fish was swimming down. And I said, you know, that's an astrological sign, and I'm not here to interpret that, but I am here to tell you what Jesus wants from you. That if you'll ask him into your heart, God said not only will he bless you once, but he'll bless you twice. One fish is the sign of Christ, but two fish is the double blessing. Can I pray with you right now? And she said, yeah, that'd be great. Now, I don't know where that came from. I'm like, I'm a tattoo interpreter now. I'm like, wow, you know, that's pretty cool. So another woman says, I've got a tattoo. Would you interpret my tattoo? And it was on her foot, and it was an anchor with a rose on one side and a heart on the other side of the anchor. And I said, well, here's what I feel like the Holy Spirit is saying. It's saying that you need to be anchored in Christ, and your life has been very unstable, hasn't it, up to this point? And you've experienced a lot of ups and downs, haven't you? She goes, yeah, lots of ups and downs. I said, well, I'm not saying that by a prophetic word. I can just tell you that that's the way it is outside of Christ. But God's trying to tell you that if you'll anchor your soul in him, he can give you stability. As a matter of fact, the rose on one side of the anchor and the heart on the other is really symbolic of your life right now. And if you'll just take your heart and let the rose of Sharon go inside the heart instead of on the other side of the anchor, Jesus will bring you into the double blessing. She said, okay. And I said, you want to pray right now? She goes, yeah. I said, okay, let's pray. Now, I'm not trying to say that I'm not a tattoo artist or interpretator, an interpretation of tattoos, but I am saying the love of God compelled me. The love of God, the fellowship of the burning hearts will give you ways and means into the hearts of the people. Another lady walked in. She was coming like this. She had a big swollen knee. Her name was Cardell. And she was walking up the steps. And she walked, I found out later, from 18th and Broadway, all the way down Broadway, all the way down 28th Street to get 15 items in a grocery bag of food from the Love Center. Her leg was visibly swollen. I said, would you like free prayer? She goes, well, I don't know. I said, look, I can pray for that knee, and God can heal that knee. Let's pray. So we prayed, and the leg stayed swollen. And I said, well, God, and the Holy Spirit said, well, take her home. Don't let her walk. I said, well, you know, okay. Am I a part of the fellowship of the burning hearts of love or not? I said, of course I'm going to take you home. I said, can I take you home? She said, well, yeah, that'd be great. And I said, well, I need to find somebody to go with me because I can't get in the car with a woman by myself. So I got Johnny Coswell. And I said, Johnny, come on, let's go take this woman home. And we took her home. And as I was driving, I said, Cardell, tell me what your dream is. She said, I've always wanted to be a missionary. I said, I'm just going to believe God for you to become a missionary. And I said, I think our paths crossed today because God wanted me to encourage you that you can do anything that he said you can do. And God bless you. And we dropped her off, and I left, and I went home. But God was speaking to me, and he said, look for opportunity every day of your life to demonstrate the fact that you're part of the community of the burning love. That is your connection to God. It is demonstrated with your connection with one another. And so I'm learning something that I'm beginning to initiate in my life. I'm learning that I have to abide in love. Everybody say, abide in love. Any moment that I'm not in love, I'm out of fellowship with God. Any moment I'm not in love, operating in love, If I'm suspicious of you, if I'm angry with you, if I have come to that point now where I think you're manipulating me, or I'm suspect of you, or I don't like you, and all of a sudden I have bad feelings towards you, I've got to realize that I am being pulled out of the fellowship of burning love. So now I need to go, okay, God, Holy Spirit, bring me back into this place. Bring me back into this place of complete and full love with you. So these five expressions participate in this family dynamic of the Trinity. So abide in my love, Jesus said. This is a call to continually live in love, stay focused on gaining insight into various expressions. And that's what I was talking about here a few minutes ago. It is gaining insight into various expressions of love towards someone that God brings in your life. As the Father loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. So here's number five, the slide that says this. Our primary goal, our primary life goal, okay, can we read it together? Come on, let's do it. Our primary life goal must be to focus on receiving and expressing God's love. So when you wake up in the morning on the 20th of June and you get out of bed, would you please say this as a prayer? Holy Spirit, my primary goal today is to focus on receiving and expressing God's love. Give me opportunity. And guess what he'll do? He'll give you opportunity. We're to make this a primary preoccupation. And you know, we don't need to wait. We don't need to experience a season of revival to engage deeply in this reality. We don't need a move of God. You know, what I have noticed over the years, we get these seasons where we have this move of God, and everybody's like loving everybody, you know, makes me love everybody, makes me love. We just feel the love, and we just want to minister, and we want to serve, and then it dissipates. Then we have another move of God, and all of a sudden now we're back in rightly relating one to another. Then it dissipates. Then we have a move of God. Really, the Holy Spirit is saying, I want to establish you and flatline you in this way of life because this is what will bring revival in the earth. But we cannot, and I don't mean to, I have my issues, just like everybody else does, okay? But I can't seek the manifestations of the power gifts of God. And I have issues with my mother. If truth be known, Miss Evangelist, Mr. Prophet, you're over here trying to move in the power of God and you haven't talked to your mother in 3 years. Dude, what's up? That's not the fellowship of the burning heart. You are trying to project something that's not real. Those things are an expression of burning love. They're not apart from them. So a lot of people say, well, the church just needs more power. Church needs more love. That's what we need because love is present. Power will manifest. Power is a manifestation or an expression of love. You follow what I'm saying? So the essence of eternal life is to know God. Let me say that again. The essence of eternal life is to know God. Say it with me. The essence of eternal life is to know God. One more time. The essence of eternal life is to know God. Now let me interpret that through a scripture. If you can put John 17 verse 3 up. Now I want you to read this scripture with me, okay? Are you with me so far? Everybody good? Okay. No fainting yet? All right. Ready? Let's read it. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Now, John is giving us a definition for eternal life. He said, this is eternal life. What is eternal life? That they may know you. Now, let me define you. Let me define God. Let me define Jesus Christ. Ready? According to 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. And this is eternal life, that they may know love. The only true love and love whom you've sent. Now that changes the whole perspective on what we call kingdom. It's not about dogma, doctrine. It's not about your specifics and your passions and your ministries. It's about knowing love. Jesus said, they'll know you're my disciple, that you have love one for another. So this is eternal life, that they may know love. God's love for God. Let me just share with that a few minutes. The first expression of perfect love is found in the relationship of the Trinity. The Son loves the Father in John 14, 31. And the Father loves the Son, John 3, verse 35. So the Father loves the Son, and the Son loves the Father. And Jesus said, the Father will love you in the same manner that He loved me. And I will love you in the same way I love the Father. That's really why creation happened. God was not lonely. He didn't need some praisers to come on the earth and go, praise you, God, praise you, God, praise you, God. He didn't need that. He really doesn't even want that. Now, before you throw stones, listen to what I'm saying. God loves our praise, but out of an expression of love. God loves our giving, but out of an expression of love. So if you're tithing because you're bound to law, that's not an expression of love. The Trinity, God, Father, Son, the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, had such perfect love, they're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Let's share this. What can we do? Hey, why don't we create a man in our image? So what is our image? Love. So they created Adam as a love child. So Adam could participate and share in this fellowship of burning love that the Trinity had. Isn't that crazy? So Adam's like in this love relationship. He's walking with God daily in the garden. They're fellowshipping. But what does the enemy want to do? The enemy wants to separate us from the love relationship. And so that's what he did. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, to partake, to disobey God. It was so that you could break the love relationship by disobedience and self-centeredness. Her eyes were opened and they began to center on themselves rather than on others. It would reverse the whole love equation. And there was a fall of man. But what was God's response to the fall of man? Do you remember Genesis 3, I think it's 15, the proto-evangelium? That God would one day send His only begotten Son. John 3:16, what does it say? God so what? Love the world. God so loved the world with this perfect love that He sent His only begotten Son, love, that whoever would believe in love, Him, would not perish but have everlasting life. So how He redeemed man who fell out of love was by loving him. And Romans 5:18 says God demonstrates His love for us in that while we were what? Yet sinners, Christ died for us. Love died for us. The only reason why I can love God is because He loved me. I respond to His love. That's what gives you the new born again experience, is when you sense God's love, when you feel God's love. God's love breathes life into you. That's how Adam was created. God's the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit created man in their image. Love was born. Adam. And Adam, it's not good for you to be alone. Oh no. You need a helpmeet. You need somebody to share this love with. It's a beautiful story. And how the world and sin has broken it down. So there's this one God who forever dwells in three distinct persons, co-equal, yet different work, different function. And it's God. It's the way He loves within the Trinity. It's the only way He loves. He always loves in fullness. Now, I want you to get this. I'm going to take just a couple minutes, and I won't keep you long. But He always loves in fullness. His love never diminishes, and His love never grows. Now that's important for us to know, because we got the diminishing side in our minds thinking that if I was a stinker today, God loves me less. And that's not true. He would deny who he is if he did. His love never fails. Love can never fail. Love can never be altered. He is completely love. So, okay, so you were a stinker today, but wait a minute, you weren't a stinker today. You gave, you worked at the Love Center, you put money in the offering tonight, you came to church. Oh, he's going to increase your love for you. Can't do that either. He'll always love you with the fellowship of the burning heart. It'll never change. God can't love you any less, and he can't love you any more. So when we enter into works to try to gain God's approval, that's when we've fallen into the trap of the law. To begin to say, okay, I'm going to have to change this and do this because God's going to love me less because I didn't read my Bible today, so God's not going to love me. He's not going to love me today. That's not true. His love will lure you. His love will pull you into that fellowship. And you're going to feel out of fellowship with him because love is so strong. It'll make you go where you can't go and do what you won't normally do. When I fell in love with Tina, it made me do crazy things. And it still makes me do crazy things. It's love has a way of speaking without using words. Love has a way of creating boundaries without putting up fences. It's an amazing attribute that love creates an environment that you cannot control, and yet it's present. And when you operate in it, when you walk in it, it changes everything. And the church needs to discover this level of love, because this love is what will, I believe, usher in revival in the last day. It will not be solely signs and wonders. The greatest sign is that God loves. It's the greatest sign. It's the greatest sign. So the way that God loves with the Trinity is the only way he loves. He always loves in fullness. His love never diminishes. It never grows because it's infinite. It's eternal. He does not love us with only a part of his love. You can put that one up. If he loved us with a part of his love, that would deny his character. He can't do that. Because God is love, he can't diminish the amount of love he has for you, because that would negate him as being God. Because God is love. How can he love you less based on your behavior and maintain his godhood status when God is love? He can't. If he comes away from fullness, the burning heart of love at all, he's no longer God. So when I wake up this morning, I feel very confident that God loves me. Man, God loves me. Now I'm going to work on loving you. It's a work, isn't it? It's a process. Because there are some people I don't like. I just don't like them. I said, God, you got to help me. I don't like this person. They're mean. They cause problems. They hurt me. God help me. He said, here's what you need to do. You need to fellowship with us. You need to fellowship with us. And when you fellowship with us, my spirit will be sent to you to baptize you in this love. And it will cause you, it will propel you in this love walk. It's the greatest message out of Ephesians. That's what Paul was talking about. He's talking about the love walk. He was talking about how to walk in this world and love those who persecute you and despitefully use you for his name's sake, for great shall your reward be in heaven. It is uncommon. It is the only kingdom that loves unconditionally. There is no other kingdom in the earth. The union in the Godhead reveals the nature, quality, and intensity of his love. The relationships in the Godhead are a model. Listen to me. This is so important. This one statement. The relationships in the Godhead are the model and the source whereby we relate to God and to others. So if God is the model, the Father loves the Son loves the Father, they're with perfect love. That's my model. So then my model for God is that I love him with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. I love him with everything. I'm a wholehearted lover of God. Now, I want to love you wholeheartedly. That's my model. Because the Godhead has a fellowship of burning love. It never diminishes and never increases. It's constant. It's to be shared and multiplied and given away and experienced by others. That's God's. That's what love does. And if you want to know more about love, you can go to 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 8. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. Love never keeps a record of a wrong suffered. I remember what you did to me in 1985. No, love doesn't do that. Love can't remember. Love refuses to remember. Love will not bring up an incident of the past. And even though when I want to do it, I have to realize that when I want to do it, to use it as ammunition, I have to recognize the model says I'm out of sync with love. Because I'm out of sync, I'm out of fellowship with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will never condone loveless acts. Do you follow what I'm saying? And you cannot churchize it. You can't Christianize it. You can't justify it. And if you start doing it, you're down the pathway of trouble. You're eventually going to find yourself away from God. So I have to come to grips with this. I have to constantly come to grips with this and say, He is my model. He is my source. Because He is a picture of what perfect love is. So Jesus had joy. Jesus had enthusiasm. And He's moved in His love for the Father. And being loved by Him. Jesus is not bored in His relationship with the Father. You know, some people get bored in church. They've got to find the next hula hoop. They've got to find the next fad. You know, it might be throwing up in a bag and casting out a demon. It might be, you know, doing this and following this person. And it might be, you know, the whatever it is. There's all kinds of little things that we do to keep us interested. We have to keep our interest up. It's sort of like a bad marriage. You have to keep your interest up. So you do things. You say, well, maybe we should explore an open relationship. You bring that in. Or maybe we should try, you do your vacation, I do mine. So, you know, we got to spice this thing up. Maybe we should bring in some videos. It's because love isn't there. And it's the same thing in the kingdom. We try to bring these faddish things in. We find another person, another personality, another cult leader to follow, ascribe to, and send our checks to. But love is enough. So when the church falls in love, all that's going to fall away. I'm excited about the potential for our future. One implication of this is that Jesus enjoys His people in a similar way as they embrace their new identity in Christ. Jesus celebrates us. He's saying, oh, they got the love. Awesome. Heaven rejoice. Another sinner has come home. All right, let me close this in the next 5 minutes. I'm going to do my best. Jesus declared that He loves the redeemed with the same intensity with which His Father loves Him. He said the Father also loves the redeemed with the same intensity. Father, Son, and Spirit love the redeemed with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. Now, I want you to look at John 17. John 17, verse 23. One more time. John 17, 23. That the world may know that you have loved them as you have loved me. That the world may know that you have loved them as you have loved me. How? In that they love one another. That's how the world knows the Father loved the Son. The Son loved the Father in that we now love each other. Love, by definition, demands an expression. Let me say that one more time. Matter of fact, there it is. Love, by definition, demands an expression. It is to be shared and it is to be multiplied. Love always invites others to come in, never to stay away. Yeah, come on, be a part. Yeah, we're going to get some, you know, something to eat afterwards. We don't know you. You don't know us. But why don't you join us? Love always invites. Love always accepts. That's why when I got this letter today, I thought, praise God, we have a smidgen of love in our church. She felt that. And they should always feel that. Anytime you walk into a community of the Fellowship of Burning Hearts, people should be overwhelmed by God's love. Because it's always inviting and it's expressing, and it's sharing, and it's multiplying. It should be, right? Amen. That's okay. That's fine. God created human beings to participate in this glorious fellowship because He is love. He said, I want you to participate in this. And God doesn't lack anything. He has no needs. I can't say this over again. He doesn't need your money. He doesn't need our worship. We got to praise Him. God inhabits the praises of His people. Yes, it says that. But praise apart from love is nothing but works. All it is a religion. It's the same thing in Isaiah 58. Why don't you take the fast that I choose? And he goes to explain what the fast that he would really want. He doesn't want to fast on Tuesdays and fast on Thursdays. And look at God, how I just beat up my body for because I love you. He's saying, go out there and feed the orphan, feed the widow. It's all out of love. It's like giving on Sunday, you know. But I can't make you love me. I can't make you love this church. I've tried. I said, we got a great church. We do these things for Jesus. And unless you love God, you're not going to give to this church. He said, well, we love you, Pastor. Don't love me. I mean, I'm glad you like me and love me and all that, but love God. If you love God, there's no need to try to love me. You just love me anyway. You're like, I don't know why I like that guy, but I sure like him. I don't even know. She's not my type, but I just like being around her. I just love being around. I never thought I'd like to be ministering to kids, but I just love children. Makes me want to hug them. I seen those little kids over there. I'm like, I want to go pick them up and hug them. And I don't even like kids. You know what I'm saying? It's the love of God makes you do crazy things. It's like, I think I'm going to go to Haiti with Pastor Troy. I hate missions. Never saw myself being there. I can't do that, but I'm going anyway. 107 degrees, I'm going anyway. Because I just all of a sudden love Haitians. I don't even know Haitians. But when he talked about it, my heart was broke and I fell in love with the people I've never seen. You see, it wasn't you. It was God's love in you, that your relationship of that fellowship of burning love that's making you love people. And it'll make you do crazy things. All right, two more statements and then I promise to close. Ready? I want to give you an invitation tonight to be loved by God. I want you to allow God to love you. I know that sounds kind of dumb, but there's a lot of people that won't receive God's love. Hardened hearts. Number two, I want you to learn to live in love. So the first thing to do is we had to ask the Lord, Father, I want you to love me. I invite you to love me. Secondly, Father, I invite you to teach me how to live in this love. And then last, Father, I invite you to teach me how to love others. I invite you to teach me how to love other people. It's kingdom called love. So tonight, Father, as we bow our heads and consider these objectives, we ask, Lord, that you would propel us into this fellowship of burning love of the Godhead that you so wanted to multiply and share into our lives, that you so loved this world that you sent your only begotten love, that whosoever would believe in love would not perish but have everlasting life. And this is eternal life, that we may know love. Father, I think tonight of the many abandoned, abused, the many, oh God, that have been left behind and kept at arm's length because of looks, color of skin, demographic, whatever, education. And they're hungry for love. They want to know your love. And God, I challenge all of us. God, challenge me that I would be an expression of love. Help us, God, to reach out to this city. You said, go to the highways and byways. Compel them to come in. Compel them to come in, Jesus. Lord, I'm asking tonight for anybody in this room that doesn't feel loved, that they would understand tonight that God can never love them less. That no matter what they do, it's not going to increase the amount of love that you have for them. I pray tonight, God, that each of us would come to a conclusion, at least for tonight. Holy Spirit, settle it in our heart that God is love. That you love us so much. We sang about it earlier, but God, put it into our reality. Make it part of who we are. And then lastly, my prayer is this for every one of us, that tomorrow it would become the focus, the preoccupation of our life, that we would love God with all of our heart, soul, might, and strength. And we would look for opportunities to express that love in somebody's life tomorrow, whether it's walking somebody across the street or giving them a ride home or maybe baking them a cake or a pie or maybe just doing something out of the ordinary to say, hey, God loves you. God, raise up a church like that in this city, God. Help us, God, to be transformed. We're in the process. We know we're not there yet, but we all want to be, and that's our heart's passion and our desire. In Jesus' name. Please stand with me. Put your stuff aside. Close your eyes. Posture yourself before your King. Let's love on Him for about 60 to 120 seconds. And would you mind singing just a song? Let's bless the Lord tonight. Come on, church.
Spread wide in the arms of Christ. His love that covers sin.
Thank you, Father.
No greater love have I ever known. He considered me a friend. Spread wide in the arms of Christ is a love that covers sin. No greater love have I ever known. You consider me a friend. Spread wide in the arms of Christ is love that covers sin. And no greater love have I ever known. You consider me a friend, and you've captured my heart again. And your love is so great. Your love is extravagant.
Yes, God, thank you.
Your friendship, it is intimate. I feel like I'm moving to the rhythm of your grace, your presence. Is intoxicating in a secret place. And spread wide in the arms of Christ is a love that covers sin.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
No greater love have I ever known. You consider me a friend. Spread wide in the arms of Christ is love that covers sin. No greater love have I ever known. You consider me a friend, and you've captured my heart again.
Father, capture our hearts again, Lord, with your love. may we capture the hearts of those we come in contact with tonight, tomorrow, the rest of our lives with that same love. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, live right, love everybody. Pray hard. Hey, Sunday, I challenge you to bring a visitor to church. Do you know anybody that doesn't go to church? No? Oh. Well, maybe you can meet one between now and Sunday and invite them. And we're going to be sharing a word that I think is going to be very, very beneficial to them. So I'm excited about it. We're going to continue our Faith Camp message. And I've got a word that I'm very, very excited. So I'm looking forward to sharing it. Hope to see you then. Love on one another. God bless you.